Hi guys, welcome to today's episode of Asula. And today our guest is someone I found out about because my intern told me about you.
Your intern?
Yeah, my intern. And she was like, oh, I know of this person, like this Singaporean who joined this Chinese survival idol show. And I was like, huh? Who is this person? I've never heard of a Singaporean joining a reality show, right? And then she showed me her profile. I was like, oh my god, let's like have a conversation with him lah, because I think that's like super interesting. Mm. And for some context to everyone out there, survival shows are very big in like the Korean entertainment industry, right? And I think very popular ones are like Produce 101, where like hundreds of idol trainees, people who want to become idols, compete in the show, and then they debut like maybe like 8 people or something at
eight
the end of the thing.
8 to 11? Depending,
depending on the show, right? And then China picked up on it, and then they had their own version of the survival show. And one of them was like Youth Is You. And I only know of this because of Lisa. Yes, of Lisa. And so when I found out that our guest today had joined one, I was like, well, it would be super interesting to hear about his experience on the show and like why you chose to go there and everything. So without further ado, I'll let him explain rather than me rambling on and on. So please welcome our guest, Alfred.
Hi, I'm Alfred. So very happy to be here sharing with you today.
Yeah. Okay, nice, nice. So tell me more about yourself besides your name. What else, like, you know, how old are you? What are you currently doing now?
Okay, so I'm actually turning 31 this year. I've been singing and dancing for like 12 years.
Okay.
And I only picked up singing maybe like 6 years ago.
Mm.
Yeah, so I've been doing this for, I would say maybe like properly for about 5 years now.
Okay, nice, nice. So based on my research, like after my intern kindly told me about you, I was like, obviously go and stalk your socials and everything and be like, what is going on? So I saw you had like a highlight series or a show. So I was trying to find out more.
Yep.
And then I also found out that you joined a very long time ago this very kind of like known audition in Singapore. The Alpha Entertainment, is that one?
Yeah. But that's not on my highlights.
It's not, it's but not I found out about it, that you joined it. So I was like, oh, okay, because I think you're friends with Tasha, right?
Yeah.
For some background, this audition was something that happened in like
2010?
Is it 20? No, I think younger, like 2009, around that period. Because I remember I went and I was 16, so around that period lah. It was a very big thing in Singapore because like there was this whole girl group that debuted in Korea called SCARF, and then everybody's like, wow, oh my god. And you joined that and then you were selected.
Correct.
Was it?
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe tell us a little bit about that first, because like, what made you even want to join this audition or like want to be an idol in a sense?
Back then, I think 2009, right?
Yeah,
so that was like the second or first year that I started dancing.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, so I was very, very new and I've always loved singing, but again, I was very shy. So I've actually never sang in front of anyone.
Mm.
So when one of my close friends, she's a dancer, she's very into the whole K-pop scene.
I see.
And she told me that there's this audition that's coming up. I only went because mainly to accompany her actually.
Okay, okay.
And with the goal to actually, okay, just put myself in an uncomfortable situation and see how I would perform in that, stressful environment. When I went, I actually had zero knowledge about K-pop. I also didn't really know what JYP Entertainment was.
Oh,
yeah. So I just went there and it was just like a quite overwhelming experience because when I went there, then I realized how many like thousands of people were there. Yeah, and I prepared only one song to sing. And I didn't prepare dance at all because even though I was a dancer, but I was just like, okay, I want to, you know, really just put myself in a situation whereby I will be stressed lah. I only realized how big of a scale this thing was that very night after the audition, because they told us that those shortlisted people have to go to MBS for this like media event.
Oh my god.
And then I realized like there were only 25 people out of like 3,000 over people that were shortlisted.
Yeah.
I got scared, obviously. Like, what did I sign up for? So and I was just very shocked, you know. At the end of the different stages of the competition, then me and Tasha, we were offered a full-time contract to move to Korea. Prior to that, we both took part in this K-pop teenage dance competition.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
And she was also the only one in the group that doesn't know K-pop. So we were from very, very similar backgrounds.
Oh,
correct.
Oh my
so
god.
So we hit off immediately, like on the third day when we had to attend the media thingy.
Yeah.
After some back and forth, then the team in Korea was like, okay, why don't you fly up? We'll fly you up for a short training period.
Okay.
And then you can see if you are okay with this lifestyle. So we agreed and then we went.
Mm.
So after discussing with my family, with my my school as well, I decided to actually stop my school in third year But because of NS, lah, so I wasn't able to to continue staying there. So they the company tried to, you know, officiate things, then help me defer and stuff, but it didn't happen.
They didn't let you, like,
yeah, as in the Singapore government was a bit more strict, lah.
I see. You technically did get signed, it's just that you weren't able to fly overseas because of NS, lah.
As in, I wasn't able to debut in the end because of NS.
Wait, did they debut a group in the end?
They debuted SCARF in the end, because the initial plan was to debut the boy team, but they even have the members and everything, like, lined up. But because I wasn't able to fly back for training, right, like, so in the end they decided, okay, if that's the case, we are going to debut the girl group first,
right,
which is how SCARF came about.
So after NS, did you continue to pursue it?
No, yes and no.
Okay.
I continued dancing.
Yeah.
So I that's when I started joining old school for a lot of classes, recitals, like annual recitals and all. Started doing a bit more covers as well.
Yeah.
I received a text like from my career manager.
Yeah.
That hey, your NS period should be up. Like, do you still want to come back?
Mm.
I didn't really hesitate, but I was just like, I don't think so.
Okay.
So I was willing to like give out the opportunity, and I feel like, you know, my time in NS. You know, because when you're NS, one of the things is that you are mingling with a lot of like local, like, you know, buddies and all. So a lot of their opinions and things that they share actually kind of shaped the way I think.
Yeah.
So I just felt like, okay, you know, the right thing to do now as a Singaporean guy at that age was to either start working or to further my studies.
I see.
And I felt like, okay, the right thing now, the next step is to go for like, for my uni lah.
Right.
So that was what I did right after NS.
So wait, so do you go to Korea for like a short training
period? Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah, so what was the training like in the company for that short period?
It was fun, I think, because back then, you know, there were a lot of like, adrenaline.
Yeah.
Everything was new, and it's just singing, dancing, language, acting, and they teach you kind of like on your mannerism and stuff like that.
Mm.
Being put in the environment, everything was so new, and it was just like, wow, everything is amazing, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I came back to Singapore, I missed that trainee lifestyle a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss having the space that you are forced to, in a way, to really like push yourself.
So timeline-wise, for everyone who might be a little bit confused, is you went to audition, then you got in, and then you went for like a short training period, but you had to come back to do NS.
Yeah.
And then you finished NS, and then you went to uni.
Uni, correct.
Okay, very good. Put it
thanks for summarizing. Yeah.
No worries. Coming back to like the point of why I wanted to ask you for this video, right, is because of this Chinese survival show.
Yeah.
So what suddenly made you want to join a Chinese survival show?
Okay, I feel like it was a process.
Okay, sure.
So first thing I felt was something that reignited the passion in me was when I watched SCARF debut.
Okay.
So I felt watching Tasha on the screen, she changed so much in the most positive way possible. So I was very envious of that. I felt like, oh, I wish I had an environment that is able to shape me, you know, to be the best version of myself.
Yeah.
So that kind of reignited like the fighting spirit in me a bit.
Yeah.
I started doing started joining more competitions. So in fact, actually the first competition I joined was like The Voice.
Okay.
By like there was just like Singapore and Malaysia, like The Voice. So that was my first time actually, you know, standing on stage and then doing all this after the whole Korea incident.
Mm.
Once again, I went into that competition because one of my best friend, Minhua, like he forced me to go.
Mm.
He's just like, okay, you know, like you have been like coming out of your shell and this is the next step. And I came up like fully understanding right now what I want to do.
Mm.
So I felt that was like the first stepping stone for me.
Right, right.
And I realized after that, like I was just really like hungry for opportunities to perform. And since then I just like started like trying to find more opportunities to take part in competitions like that.
Okay, so did anyone that you knew of from the boy group, right, that you were supposed to debut in debut in the end in any like idol group? Just curious.
Not that I know of lah, because like to be honest, I don't really recognize their face anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's a short period.
Long time ago,
so no one from that team like that I was supposed to debut with, like the lineup, but Jackson Wang debuted, but he was from the same audition.
Okay.
The JYP Alpha audition. So we were like shortlisted and we were both offered contract in the same season.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So for everybody who doesn't know, Jackson Wang is a member of GOT7, now solo artist.
Yep.
Very famous, used to be Olympic fencer, everybody. Mm. Yeah. Oh, so did you ever speak to him at that point in time?
We did have like some exchange like over text.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was Facebook back then. Was it Friendster? I don't remember.
Oh, Friendster?
Was it Friendster? I don't remember.
So long ago,
then maybe
yeah,
Facebook.
Maybe
I'm not sure.
Facebook,
the timeline.
Maybe Facebook. Okay.
Yeah, but like we did like exchange some text, and then after that, even after he debuted, like there were some conversations that like I recall like he called one of my like, because the whole group of like people that we were shortlisted, we were pretty tight lah, the Singaporeans. So like he was sharing with us like, oh, like behind the scenes that of like the music stage or something like that.
Yeah. Oh my god, exclusive details. Wow.
It's very refreshing to see, like, you know, how someone that, you know, started at this almost at the same point, like, yeah, is getting, like, doing so well with, mm, with what he's doing in his life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so interesting that, like, both of y'all chose very different paths. Mm. Not whether right or wrong, it's, yeah, just like the priorities, right? Correct. At that point in time.
Yeah, so another thing to share is that, I think, fun fact that you might not know.
Okay.
Is that he was actually a guest mentor for, like, I feel maybe 4 episodes in the show that the competition I was in China.
Oh, correct. Okay.
Yeah.
So means at the you met him. Oh my god, so you met him at the start, and then you met him as a mentor.
Say, yeah, and in the competition, I would say that was, like, probably by far the peak of my career. Oh. But he was really at a mentor, like, level.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a full cycle moment. And back then, a lot of, like, you know, because, like, the trainees, they sort of know about the story because it was brought up in China during interviews.
Yeah.
So they would keep asking me, how do you feel? How do you feel like seeing him? And I think even in the edits, when if you oh, watch it, right, they would have cuts of, like, me performing and then Jackson, like,
oh my god, for real?
And I don't know why, like, the performance is not exactly, like, sad or anything, but they would make him, they would take, like, edits of him looking quite, like, emotional. So watching that, I thought it was quite funny, you know.
Like, didn't really... Wait, I'm dead. Yeah, yeah, did he yeah, even yeah, know that they were doing this? And, like, did you even speak to him on the show?
I didn't, but the scriptwriters kept encouraging me to, like, you know, like, hey, speak to Jackson, or, like, you know, okay, they wanted to lead to that, but I wasn't very comfortable.
Right.
Yeah, because pretty sure, as in, like, it's been such a long time, mm-hmm, and he's met so many people. I don't think he recalls any of that.
Right.
And honestly, even if he does, I don't feel exactly comfortable. Mm. Because at that show, as in, like, given the boundaries, he was a mentor. So I, yeah, feel like there were still certain, like, lines that I have to draw.
Like, respectfully, correct, for must sure, maintain the distance. Mm. I see.
Yeah.
So speaking of the show, right? Mm. So what exactly is this show, the name of the show that you joined?
Mm. The show is called We Are Young. So in Chinese, it's called 少年之名.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
So another fun fact I feel is,
sure,
you know, how it's called We Are Young.
Yeah.
So when I went for the show, I was turning 30, or was it 29? 29.
Okay, right.
So I was a bit conscious about my age because the show title is literally like, We Are Young.
Oh my god, that is so funny.
And I didn't like feel exactly comfortable to share my age. I felt like throughout the whole, right, like, interview and audition process, they didn't really ask me about my age.
Okay, that's a good thing.
So I was like, wait, like, do they know, is there an age limit to this thing? Like, do they know that I'm 29? No. I was quite concerned, actually.
Correct, because yeah, most of the time, like, idol trainees, correct, are actually very young. And yeah, like, yeah. I think when I watched, there's a recent survival show called Girls Planet 999, yeah, or something, right? There were, nice, girls who were like, oh, like, they're 24 and this is their last chance to debut, yeah, kind of vibe. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. So when you, yeah, mentioned it, I'm like, oh, that's like, very interesting point that apparently they didn't pick on it lah at that point in time.
At that point, no, but once they kind of like script it a little bit more, they're like, okay, your story is like, oh, you're the oldest contestant here.
I see.
It is your last shot.
I see.
You know, and you have connection with Jackson Wang. So that was kind of like the storyline I felt that was carried throughout lah.
Okay, got it. So when you signed up for this, how did you go about it? Like, how did you even find out that this competition existed?
I just found it on Google.
Like, you Googled?
Yeah.
You're like, survival show auditions, and then like,
really, like time to time, I'll just do that.
Oh, okay, so it was like a constant lookout thing. Mm. Okay, okay. So when you flew to China, when did this whole competition take place actually?
COVID.
Oh, because like 2020.
COVID, yeah. So, and back then we don't know about COVID much, you know. Yeah. So I went right into China,
yes,
during March. That was like the peak of their COVID. And yeah, Singapore was still pretty safe back then. Yeah, so I was there from March. Long.
Wow, okay. So tell us a little bit about like your journey as a idol trainee over there. I think, okay, I mean, for people who are interested, they probably want to know what is the life like whether it's really scripted. I mean, we did establish that a little bit, like the lifestyle every day, like what do you do every day? Like, do you just go on a show and then like you stay in your room, or like what was the situation like?
Because the initial part is like the pre-training part.
Okay.
So we spent actually 2 months in this, they call it 封闭式训练, means it's like you are like quarantine training.
Oh,
so they have this entire hotel like that's for them.
Okay.
So you just okay, this is your room number, go there. You go there and then you're just waiting for news. So maybe the next day they're like, okay. And of course, given that was during COVID, so they were just taking everything's a bit slower.
Yes.
Next thing you know, oh, you have a roommate. And your roommate turned out to be your teammate for the first debut show.
Okay.
Yeah,
I see, everything is
because you want to keep the element of surprise. So you don't really know like who are your teammate, like what kind of like item you're doing. You don't have a choice in that actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure lah.
So that was one thing that actually affected me quite greatly in the start. Because we were told to prepare, you know, certain stuff like your talents and stuff. But when we got to China, you actually don't really have anything. Like, so whatever you were preparing, they can just say, oh, it's okay, we are going to do this instead.
Okay.
And we were not allowed to interact with anyone.
Not even your team?
With our teammates, because we are training together.
So
but
okay,
we go back to our room for lunch. So everything else is in the room. Once you go back to the room, right, you can't even go to my teammate's room. So I can only be in the room with my roommate, who happens to be my teammate.
Oh my god, but you and your roommate okay?
Yeah, we hit off well.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, exactly. So at that point, we still had our phones.
Okay.
But we were not allowed to order anything because it was a hotel. So whatever you order, you'll just be stuck at the lobby and they will not give it to you. Even like when we take the lift to like our training, the manager will come to your door and then knock, then you come out. Then you have to wear your mask because they didn't want us to see anyone.
Oh my god, it's a prison.
So even if like, and I heard like some Thai accent, I just wanted to say, I was like, hi, like you're the other guy from Thai. And we couldn't see each other, but then they were like, 不能说话. They're like, you cannot talk.
Oh my
then
god.
I asked them why, and then they said like, you cannot get to know each other until the show starts. So that they want to keep everything documented.
Understand.
In a setting whereby when we first have conversation, anything is, you know, good for editing, they are able to use that.
Right, understand.
So like, I was just like, oh, I just want to make friends. Like, it's been, you know, a while. We only knew like that we were starting to go into like the filming because they suddenly like raided our rooms and collected our phones.
Oh my god, that is really like what I would assume a survival show would be like. But it's just I think the points that you mentioned, like the cannot see anybody, cannot even talk to anyone.
That was quite intense for me.
Yeah, that one is something that I would not have expected because like, I mean, what's wrong with like having communication? But I guess I can see from their point of view why they wanted to keep it like that. But it's just, wow, you really don't know what you're saying.
Like you lack like human interaction in the situation. So the first time that we actually see everyone was they brought us to this huge like production house. Like,
okay.
Really huge. Yeah. So when we enter this huge space, right, there was like, you know, those like Produce 101, they are like huge on team songs.
Yes.
So they tell us, okay, your mission in the next 3 days is that you're going to film an MV for the team song.
Oh.
So I was like, oh my god, like even now, like talking about it, you see, like I have goosebumps.
Okay.
Like those are moments that like make me really live for this. So I was just like, oh my god, then we go on the stage and they say, okay, right now we're gonna audition for who is gonna stay in front.
Oh my god.
I was
god.
Like, what an audition?
Like,
I didn't
right
even know.
Now.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Because we've been the past like 10 days we were given a mission to learn the theme song. Everyone had to learn the theme song.
Okay.
Yeah. So they just say, okay, 10 by 10, you're gonna come up. And do.
Wow. So when you did the theme song and everything, right? Mm. I saw in your stories that you actually managed to get like one of the top spots.
Correct.
For the theme song, right? So how was that for you, feeling that, you know, that you actually managed to get that?
I was quite surprised, to be honest, because for the 10 days prior to that MV filming, right?
Yes.
We were split into like A, B, C, D, and I was in D team.
Okay.
Team D.
Okay.
So people in Team D, they are newer people with not much experience.
Right.
So when I looked around me, like, everyone couldn't really dance. And the choreo is really quite tough. But when I saw Team A and B, supposedly people are very, very good, they didn't really perform as well as I thought.
Okay.
So, very frankly, based on the dance skill itself, I was confident that I'm going to get a spot.
Okay.
But when they started announcing who is going to stand in the spot, right, I was like, oh, okay, this is not right. Because it was people that I know of that are like maybe popular, but I was like one of the last few names called.
Oh.
Yeah, and when I looked around, I was like, oh, everyone is like from other big company, or like they've debuted before, or like they've joined like previous seasons of the show. So I felt very humble like, over my time spent there, because like, we're training every day, I gained a lot of confidence.
Okay.
So I recall once like they were just saying like, anyone is confident to show the choreo, I raised up my hand with hesitation. And that wasn't me, that was not how I've always been in old school recital and stuff like that.
No, it's like you keep quiet,
yeah,
like other people.
I was surprised
do.
That I did that. I can't believe that I actually stood up without even thinking. It was like in front of like 50 over people.
Nice.
Yeah, so I believe that helped me secure my spot in the zone A when we're performing. So zone A, basically they split us into like 4 zones as well. So most of the people from Team A got into Zone A.
It's like the front
like
center
the front,
in the
correct,
camera.
Correct. So you get to, for Zone A, you get to dance like the full 4 minutes of the song.
Oh, yeah, like the stars
correct,
of the show. I get it. Like on survival shows, it's always by ranking, like, right? So speaking of choosing the people, and you're talking about the Zone A, Zone B, everything, all this kind of thing, right? I think one of like the common controversial things in survival shows is that people always say if you're from a big company, likely the chances of you getting to debut is much higher. Or you get more screen time and things like that, or you know someone famous, based on like what I've observed from other Korean shows. I mean, you know in the Korean shows, then like they say JYP Entertainment, and
everyone will stand up and like,
like everybody will be like damn hyped for the trainee to come out, right? Yeah, so is it the same or kind of similar in China as well?
Definitely, I would say naturally I feel people with companies, right, they are taught to behave a certain way more.
I see.
Example, big company people, they tend to get a little bit more screen time only because they know how to answer questions.
Yeah.
So when like, let's say we are doing interview, they know like the sentence that needs to be recorded.
Right. Thing.
You know, when you're from big company, you are so well prepared. You're able to, you know, put on your best front.
Mm.
So there was this one day that I think we finished training. I was together with one of my teammates for one of the challenge. And I told him, hey, I think you make a very great like leader coordinating and stuff. Like, are you sure this is your first time? And then he commented. I thought it was like, oh, we have a connection.
Like,
you know,
like,
I just wanted to really like praise you. Hey, like tell you like you're doing well.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, I understand.
And his reaction was just like, oh, thank you. But can you say all this again tomorrow, like in front of the camera? And then I was just a bit like, oh. Yeah.
Indeed.
I was just a bit like, shocked lah.
Yeah.
It just sets with the reality, oh yeah, we are filming a reality show. Oh, correct, okay, correct. If that's what you need, I would.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't say that, I was just like, oh, haha.
And I think one of the points you mentioned is that the producer prompted you to ask you about it, right? So I would assume on this show, the producer often prompts you about like maybe like drama or like people in the show, like what do you think about this person to like kind of like stir up a storyline also, right?
They do that, but if you are prompted this kind of drama, it's a good sign.
Oh, okay.
Because that means that you are somehow in the storyline of the week.
Ah.
We have interviews every day.
Okay.
But everything is very short.
Okay.
They are asking you same questions over and over about, oh, what do you feel about the song? Then you know that you're not in the storyline this week.
Mm.
But if they're starting to say certain things, then it's probably, chances are someone is mentioning your name and then they want to tie up all these, like, you know, potential, like, edits. So there was one incident whereby there was a misunderstanding between me and my teammate.
Mm.
And this teammate of mine, we are very close.
No, oh, okay.
We are close, as in, like, we talk a lot. And he's one, I would say, one of my closest friends in the whole show. Mm. But when that misunderstanding happened, the scriptwriter immediately pulled me aside and that night, later than I said, tonight when you go back, do not talk to him. We are going to come back tomorrow, 7 a.m. call time. We are going to talk about this thing.
Oh,
do not tell your teammates. And I was like, how about they are my friends?
Yeah.
I'm not going to make him feel like he's blindsided, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want him to feel like I was throwing him under the bus.
Right.
So I felt like it was on me to still at least, you know, as friends, tell him that, hey, heads up. So those were moments that I didn't exactly enjoy, I feel. Especially I'm someone that cherish like the friendship and the bonds that I create there.
Like,
it's not
really
like just about the competition.
Kind of understand.
So I feel like putting me in that situation kind of like just doesn't really sit well with me.
Understand. Mm. Well, I mean, like, there are some like pros and cons of it, right? To be honest, I'm quite surprised by quite a number of things, and I did not expect it to be that way, but I guess that's what a good production does, right? You don't know the behind the scenes of everything. At the end of the survival show, what place do you come in, and like how did you feel about you know, the ending? Was it something that you were satisfied with?
Yeah. Was it 28 or 29 or 30?
Like top 30, is it?
30? Oh, yeah. Oh, how would you know?
She produced the thing.
Oh, yeah. Towards the end, honestly, like most of us, like, to be honest, didn't really care about the ranking anymore.
Oh,
because,
okay.
Again, it's very obvious, lah. We knew.
Cool.
So it's just a matter of time. It's just like how long they need to keep you in for, like how involved are you in the storyline, which is why I don't really remember which ranking I was. Thanks for telling me, I'm 30.
Oh, yes.
Okay, yeah. I was very happy with like where I was. Like, I wasn't sad or anything. In fact, I felt like it was like a very happy graduation.
Aww.
Yeah, and
that's good.
If anything, I was just surprised that I actually went all the way to the finals.
But that's amazing that you made it all the way.
Yeah,
and how many contestants were there total?
It started with 100 over and then to 84 and then slowly cut.
And then top 30, I would say like amazing.
I was very lucky. Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
So at the end of this competition, right, do you see any like growth or change within yourself that, you know, didn't happen before, like the competition?
Within myself.
Mm.
I feel like the biggest thing that I got out of it is really like the change in mindset, I would say.
Okay.
And self-confidence.
Okay.
Why I would say like the confidence part is more of like watching myself. To be honest, like I mentioned about The Voice.
Yes.
After that, I also went on Jungle Voice. These are performances that I would never actually want people to see. At that point, I feel like, okay, maybe I don't have enough training or I was so introverted. Like, I always have stage fright.
Mm.
So much so that like when I'm performing, I know it's nowhere close to what I can do.
I see.
So I'm never proud to show that, but I can bring up any performance that I've done in China and look at it and like, hey, look at this, like, this is me. So that's one of my biggest takeaways. Another thing I had is a mindset, because, you know, all these younger contestants, they come up to me and say, oh my God, like, you're the guy that is like almost 30, right? Like, early stages, they were like, wow, I really wish that I would have your determination when I'm at your age. You know, actually, you're inspiring me because I just started doing this for like 2 years. And sometimes I feel like giving up. But looking at you, and you know, you're an inspiration. So that was the first time I actually heard it in my whole life.
Mm.
That I could just inspire someone solely based on what I love doing.
Mm.
You know, so it made me feel like, I need to stop being so hard on myself with my age. And you know, in the past I used to label myself as stubborn.
Yeah.
But after I came back from China, I changed the label to determined.
Okay.
So I would say that is like the biggest change in mindset.
Mm.
So two things that I really take away most from is just the confidence and the mindset, I feel.
Understand. Mm. So mentioning about like this like new motivation and like drive that you have and like change in mindset and everything, like when you came out of Singapore, was there any like upcoming projects or things that you really wanted to do to like push yourself as like a performer or entertainer in the industry?
One thing that I was set to do back then was because I flew to Beijing and Guangzhou for auditions for the show with Lisa. So
wait, the Indian cancel, is it?
Yeah, as in because I couldn't get my visa. When that happened, I was like, okay, you know, this is how the COVID has changed everything lah. So I just need to come to terms with that. So I was like, okay, since this is a situation, I should take advantage of it, and I want to be based in Singapore now,
okay,
at least for now. And the next thing that I could see myself doing was to then start doing my own content.
Okay.
So that was when I sat down with my producers and started to write my first single. Mm. Yeah, so I was like, okay, I'm not gonna just be known as the person that takes part in competition.
Mm.
I don't want to be known as just I'm still waiting for opportunity. I want to make that for myself.
Right. Okay, so tell us a bit about your debut single.
Okay, my debut single is titled Vampire Chongshen. It is actually a mandol pop.
Okay.
It is it's a dance track. Okay. So when I was doing this song, to be very honest, I wasn't too sure which concept defines me as an artist.
Mm.
Should I be truthful to myself? The genre I love is just dance pop. So it was a lot of internal struggle and all that. So I decided, okay, if this is going to be my first single, it has to be something that encapsulates me as a person.
Yeah.
So I decided to go forward with like a Mando dance track. So everything that, you know, has led up to that, from my journey in the JYP all the way to the China competition, I feel like I'm ready to show people who I am as an artist.
Yes, okay.
Right? So I thought that the idea of rebirth, the idea of like being a vampire is very interesting. So I was just like, okay, now I'm ready.
Mm.
I'm going to come out of this coffin, you know, it feels that way. Okay, it's like I'm reborn.
I can feel the vibe. Then I can see that you are very like enthusiastic about this, which is like amazing lah. So any upcoming plans for your future career besides, because you just released your debut single, right? Any other upcoming plans that we should look out for?
So in the year of 2022, I'm still looking to release another dance track.
Okay.
So it's really in the writing. I'm hoping to, of course, release also like a ballad, like just to show different sides of me and like also show that I want to explore like different concepts as well. So that's something like it's a personal goal lah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I will be doing more songs. So I want to be a lot more like open to exploring acting as well. Mm. So that will be something that I will be also doing a little bit this year.
Okay. Yeah. Nice, nice. Just final question to like kind of wrap up. It's a bit of like a, I don't know whether sensitive, insensitive question lah. But you know, you mentioned you're like independent artist and you're doing all of this on your own. Like, how do you manage like your finances, and like, is this even a stable career for you at this point in time?
I would say it is sustainable.
Okay.
Sustainable, I think partly also because I am very like low maintenance.
Oh, okay.
I'm like super low maintenance. Honestly, in Singapore, especially when you have no label and you're relatively new, there are a lot of struggles that we have to face. One of the things obviously is like, if you don't get any jobs and everything, then it's very hard. And especially where I am right now, I'm trying to expand my team as well.
Yeah.
Like with my stylists, my people. Mm. So they are all doing it in our favor and everything. But there comes to a point where I feel like I want to be able to provide for my team.
Mm-mm.
I want to be able to pay back the kindness and be able to give them jobs as well.
Understand.
So that is what I would say I'm struggling a bit with right now.
Okay. Understand. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thanks for having me.
I've learned a lot through your journey. Mm. And I only wish good things for you
thank
for the
you,
future.
Thank you, you too.
Yeah. Oh wow, thanks! Thank you, oh my god. If that's it, thank you for joining
thank
us today.
You, thank you,
thank you. And if you guys have any questions for Alfred, you can link the socials will be in the description box. Please drop him a follow, drop a like on his YouTube channel, on his new music video. Comment on his music video, say like, I came from Zula.
Yeah,
go and comment. I'll go and like also.
You will be the first one, yeah.
I will like the comment. And if you guys want us to interview anybody else on future episodes of Ask Zula, please leave it in the comment section down below as well. Or you got any interesting friends next time want me to interview? So
oh, I would love to, yeah. Sure.
Of course, then we interview more people.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you guys for watching. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and we'll see you guys next time.
See you.
Bye-bye. Bye.